So, Pam, do you realize if you look at the entirety of a calendar year, what are the two most popular weekends that doctors perform vasectomies? You have any ideas or guesses? This would be a procedure that's done on a Thursday or a Friday, but what would be the two most popular?
Before a long weekend, before a Labor Day weekend, maybe?
Okay, well, actually, I mean, this is just some of the... I've heard this from several different guys that have mentioned this from their doctors, that the two most prominent times are the first weekend of March Madness that just happened.
Oh, genius.
And the weekend of the Masters tournament.
Yeah, just lay around and watch sports all weekend.
Because you've got two big events that are 4 days long of a lot of... You don't have to get up and move very often, and you just kind of have lots of entertainment on TV.
Yeah.
So if you've missed this window to get it done, fellas, and you're planning on doing a vasectomy, the Masters is right around the corner.
Right around the corner.
Another thing that's right around the corner is Sexy Marriage Radio Getaway. June 13th through the 15th, the registration early bird discount goes away. And what's the timeline now, babe? We were just talking about this.
Well, yeah, I don't know. 19 days.
Yes, yeah, just over a couple of weeks.
April 15th.
April 15th is when the deadline goes away for the early bird discount. So join us this year in June. April 15th is when it ends. June 13th to 15th is when you would come join us. smr.fm/getaway is how you can register. And welcome to the show. My name is Dr. Corey Allen, alongside my wife, Pam.
Always good to be here.
We're having honest conversations where what we want to try to land on is the idea that marriage is actually simple, but sometimes the simple things that we need to do are difficult to do, because it really comes down to how do you view what's going on?
Yeah, you say it's simple and it's not, right?
The concepts are, though, I think.
Concepts.
I think the aspects
walking through them, not.
I think the aspects of what is actually happening in our lives is fairly simple if you objectively look back at it.
It's hard to objectively look at it.
That's what makes it difficult. Yeah. So we want to hear from you and what's going on in your world. 214-702-9565 is where you can join the conversation. And feedback@sexymarriageradio.com is also where you can let us know via our inbox of questions you've got. Things you would like to add to the conversations, or just want to say, hey, we want to hear from you. So let us know. And if you're new to the show, an easy way to find out more about us and what we've got going on here is our starter packs. These are collections of episodes arranged by topic and popularity. And you can find all those at smr.fm/starter. So coming up today on the regular version is an email that came in. The easiest way to characterize the theme we'll be talking about is, it's a husband that's emailed in, and his wife, the way he interprets this is, she wants to be wanted, but she doesn't want to want. Which can be a fun and maybe a little edgy, dicey conversation.
Okay.
Because it's going to be a little pointed, possibly, when we get into some of the details of this.
Yeah.
And then on the extended content today, which is deeper, longer, and there's no ads, you can subscribe at smr.fm/academy. We're going to explore the two common attitudes I think people bring towards marriage and relationship. There's an attitude you could have of entitlement, or there's an attitude you could have of exposure.
Okay. I'm looking forward to unpacking those because...
When I brought them,
are these supposed to be opposites? Because I struggle with seeing them being opposites, but I'm looking forward to chatting.
Right, so Pam's going to be paying attention in the extended content and following right along and jumping in to help clarify. Absolutely.
I will be doing my job to ask the questions.
So that's coming up right after this. So here's the email that came in. This is from a husband that just hit. It was a longer one, so I've condensed it as much as I could. And I'm also going to do something a little different as I'm reading this. Most of the time, we read through an email, and then we start unpacking it. Mm-hmm. I'm going to interject some things as we're going.
Okay.
And so chunks. Hopefully, it doesn't make it disjointed too much.
We'll see.
But let us know, 214-702-9565, if it was. But so my wife and I have been avid listeners of your show for nearly a year now. We've navigated through significant challenges in our 16-year marriage, including, and we've used individual counseling, marriage counseling, and various courses. We're parents to four children, two of which have medical challenges, and so our daily life involves balancing numerous responsibilities. While our marriage has improved considerably, I still struggle with feelings of overfunctioning, resentment, and unmet desires. And this is the husband that's emailed in. So I've embarked on the journey of self-improvement, diving into resources and books, but I seek guidance on becoming more resilient, overcoming resentment, and ingrain nice guy tendencies, and ultimately building the marriage we both desire. And so one of my first interjections here is we both desire or he desires.
Okay, so your point being he can't do anything about her desire level?
Well, sometimes we think we're on the same page of what we're trying to build, and in actuality, we haven't had the honest conversations, no, are we?
Okay.
Okay. Or she may not really know what her desire is, hence kind of the theme we're going to be heading towards on sure. The wanting to want.
That's fair.
Because sometimes it's like, no, it's just easier if somebody else does it for me, and then I can just hope I get what I want or complain if I don't. That's where I'm going to be meddling a little bit.
Okay.
But that's an important clarification in mm-hmm. my mind of sometimes I think I'm going down a path I think we both want, but we don't really both want it. Yours is slightly varied or nuanced, which is a big distinction.
Sure. And you go back to what if she doesn't know what she wants?
Fair enough.
I mean, that's...
Yep.
Yeah.
And so let's continue. Our marriage is way better than it has ever been, but I still feel like we're not quite out of the pit, and I'm not sure what I can do on my end. And again, another clarifying distinction, I think, is does she feel the same? Does she feel the same on it's way better?
Does she feel the same it's way better, or does she feel... Does she even... He says, it's way better, but we're still in the pit.
Right.
Does she even think that they're in a pit?
Yeah, that's a great question as well, because there's always the possibility that simultaneous truths exist here.
Yeah.
And this is where the way I describe this is couples I start working with, and then I see them a week or two later or three or four sessions in, and they sit down, and I typically start the session with some variation of, how's it going? What's going on, right? Mm-hmm. And one spouse can oftentimes jump in and say, oh, it's good. Things are really good. And then the other spouse goes, yeah, no, it's not. And then the first spouse changes their answer. Oh, well, then I guess it's not good. When there is a possibility, one person in the marriage thinks the marriage is good and the other thinks it's not, and both are true.
If I've been living under the belief that my spouse might think it's okay, although I can't, if I'm coming, I mean, you can go to counseling and things be, you're just trying to get from good to great, right?
Mm-hmm.
But typically, if you're going to counseling, you know there's something going on here.
Oh, absolutely.
There's
a pain point somewhere.
There's a pain point that's getting you there more than likely.
Mm-hmm.
So that's interesting to me that one would walk in and that's good. When you know more than likely that when you're walking in the door, something really is there that isn't.
Right.
I guess maybe, I don't, okay, so that's just interesting. Yeah, so, but yeah, we'll just roll with it.
That's a component of what happens in married life. And this is what we'll start unpacking as well a little bit more as this email continues. But it's recognizing that each of us can have different characterizations that make it good for me, but maybe not good for you or as good.
Yeah.
Because again, I don't think this is an either or. I think they're a both and.
I would agree
right?
with that.
That it's something that's the idea, if we both want this, but I'm getting more of what it is I want,
mm-hmm.
and it's not as satisfying and life-giving to you, but it's not a life-sucking killjoy experience either.
Yeah.
So maybe it's
just not through the roof.
It's all of this thing happens in the nuances, right? So let's keep going. So I feel that I'm doing a majority of the work around the house, and I know I resent it. I've asked her to cook a meal a week for a year, and she said that it gives her too much anxiety. I've asked her to help with the dishes or keeping the house clean, but somehow she seems to have time, plenty of time to crochet, paint, do random crafts with the kids, etc. Ultimately, I think it boils down to I don't feel wanted or desired. As the lower desired partner, she doesn't initiate. She still brings up how she felt like X or Y throughout our marriage, and she's so glad that things are better now, but I feel like that if I were to complain about some of the past, she'd be upset or surprised at how I felt. Perhaps I just need to do it. That he adds that little quantifier, into which my little quantifier is yes.
Yeah.
It doesn't feel like there's room for me to have a negative thought or feeling or perspective, which has been the case throughout our marriage. When it comes to sex, she's semi-responsive to flirting. She seems to like and to appreciate it, but it doesn't lead anywhere. Her reasoning is often that she's tired, needs to get to bed, or ready for the next day, etc. I'm working on being better at initiating, but after years of rejection, it's taken me a while to get over my fears, and frankly, I'm tired of bad sex. She's very vanilla and has always been. She says she was more adventurous before we had kids, but what I remember is that while we might have had sex more often back then, it was still very restricted to a tiny slice of things that she was okay with, and anything else was completely out of the question, which, a quick addendum, which is always the case in every single marriage. That's the idea of sex as leftovers.
Yeah, right? Here's
what...
We find
a comfort zone, yes. And typically the low desire partner for variety controls that. That's not just the low desire partner.
Right, because the high desire may want more often, but may also be very restricted in the types of...
And so here's
mannerisms that they
want to do. Here's where he kind of lands it with his question. So it feels like, and I think this is his wording. It feels like she wants to be wanted, but doesn't want to want or have her own desires. Which that's a pretty profound statement, actually. Because I think it's something we all are capable of.
So point out to me why you think that statement is so profound.
Because when you think of life in the context of a relational dynamic, there are many aspects of life where, frankly, it's easier to not have to engage as much and have somebody else carry the weight for me. It's a part of our upbringing. It's part of our relational dynamic. It's definitely part of marriage. It's definitely part of sex. Because if I was to truly start to examine and explore what are my real wants or desires, particularly when it pertains to sex and my sexuality, that's a can of worms. A lot of people don't even want to look at it and acknowledge exists. Because it's just easier to let somebody else have the lion's share of the work and desire that's necessary to keep it alive. Because our sex life and there's trauma, there's ignorance, there's naivete, there's pain, there's struggle, there's rejection, there's frustration. I mean, our sex lives reveal a lot of ourselves, right? So one of the most intimate aspects of our life.
Yeah. And, you know, as we talk about, it's one of the areas that you don't talk about so much growing up either, right?
Right.
And so you may have had someone teach you about finances or not, because I guess that's another one people don't talk about either.
Right.
But it's kind of taught to be an off-limit topic anyway.
Yes.
So then when you get into relationship, when you get into marriage, to then try and make that something you talk about, gets tough.
Right. And it leads us down a path of, do I really want to explore that aspect of myself? And what can be uncovered in it. Because think of all of the messages we get, negative and positive, on all the aspects of life. I mean, this is not a apples to apples comparison, but I think of somebody in my history with working with people made a comment that they got in trouble for doing something at school, like cheating on a test, or I mean, I don't remember what the actual detail was.
Yeah.
But when they came home, they were expecting dad to be upset about it. But dad's message to him was, don't ever let me catch you doing that again.
Like, just don't get caught.
that's what's built into it. Maybe dad didn't mean it that way because that's what was taught to him too.
But that's what they heard.
But it leaves that open to interpretation of dad never took a stand on some of those things of, no, no, we don't do that. That is a value we don't, I don't want you to live according to.
Yeah.
And instead it was like, you just need to get better at hiding things.
That's how it was interpreted.
Absolutely.
You know, okay, so side point, words matter.
And words along with how a person conducts themselves and the congruence therein is what delivers the message.
Yeah.
It's that conversation we can have about, I want to ask you about this, but I really don't want to know. Right? There's a topic that's been troublesome for us, let's say.
Right.
And I'm really curious about what's going on and how it could be going, but I really don't want to know. And I'm actually delivering that message in the way my micro communications and micro expressions communicate all of that.
Because when I bring it up, I give them an easy way out or something along those lines.
Or I am delivering a message in my mannerisms of, I don't really want to know what I'm asking here.
Yeah, I'm asking you as I'm walking out the door.
Right. Or I'm asking you as I'm picking up my phone to check something else. Or I'm asking, you know, and I'm delivering messages of, I really don't care what you're saying. And that's kind of built into all of this, into his questions of, how do I address my side of this equation, is you shore up and are more congruent with what your struggle or what you're reading actually is.
Well, I keep going back to, he made a comment that I feel like there's not room for my, I wrote down negative thoughts. I don't know if that's the exact wording.
Yeah, negative interpretations of things that there, right. I think there's an element that exists in marriages. One partner can have them and the other can't.
Sure. It sounds like he squashes even bringing him up. I may be misinterpreting this here, but
that's right.
That comment makes it sound like he's like, I'm done bringing him up because there's not room for it. And my thought is encouraging to go ahead and bring that stuff up. You know what? Figure out how to make room for it. He needs to make room for himself.
Right.
Get rid of that nice guy thing.
So then it becomes the question.
And let her deal with it the way she...
Right. So then it becomes the question of, how do you do that when it's been taught, I don't want to have to deal with that? It freaks me out if you bring up something negative.
The wife doesn't want to deal with it.
I teach you that you can't have negative thoughts. That's what you're facing.
Okay, well, she's taught him something. Mm-hmm. Now it's time he can teach her something.
Well, and you also use what you already know about the map of each other to know what you're going to be facing.
Mm-hmm.
Because this is where it's so subtle. Tell me if this lands in the way I'm hoping it comes out.
Okay.
We can have issues in our marriage where it's like, yeah, I know how you're going to react, so I'm just not even going to bring it up, right? And we use that as a deterrent to address something I need to address.
Sure.
And instead, if I already have a pretty good idea, if I know how you're going to react, why don't I foster the ability to recognize that more and use that not to my advantage, but to know what I'm actually facing. And so I can make a cleaner move because I have a good likelihood of this isn't going to land well. History has shown we don't do well with this topic, but I'm bringing it up anyway.
Yeah, I think it still has to be brought up because otherwise, I mean, he's resenting.
Right.
And so it's still in the room. The issue is still there.
Yes, it is. And I think there is still an element of this that, to step in it a little bit, there is a gender component with how this plays out sometimes, that there is an element, and I'm basing this off of Brené Brown's work, when you're talking about shame and vulnerability begets vulnerability. And early on, when she was just starting to become huge with this talk, she had a husband and wife that were older that were talking to her after one of her big talks. And he asked her point blank, He said, okay, most of your message is aimed at, and research is based on women and females, right? On the vulnerability concept. That's where most of your research and study has come. She's like, yes. Okay. I don't see how this applies to men. And she's like, what do you mean? And to her credit, at least she was curious. She didn't get defensive and from the way the story has been recounted. Because he made the comment of, if I'm vulnerable with some of the things that truly are my fears, my insecurities, my hurts, my pains with my wife, it never lands well. It never invites more vulnerability from her because it freaks her out because what she looks to for me in the relationship dynamic.
She wants him to be the solid
stability
one.
Stability and solid and, yeah. and consistent. And so I think there's a component in there that is at play. I don't want to give it too much credence in this dynamic, but
yeah,
it is a factor. I've seen that in our marriage.
I can see that. I can see that. And these guys are 16 years in their marriage, so it's not like it's all brand new. They've got to read on each other. But I mean, what we were 12 years in, 12, 15 years in, when I feel like I really flipped a switch.
Right.
And didn't rely so much on things like that. Right.
Right.
I just think that the dynamic can still improve.
Oh, but it improves through the heavy lifting.
Yes.
Through the facing what life really is. He's at one of his questions is how do I become more resilient?
Yes.
And the way you become more resilient is you face life on life terms and marriage on marriage terms, honestly.
Yeah, which to me means I don't avoid 100% of the negative thoughts that I have and not bring it up with them.
Right.
Right? You've got to still address
those.
How
do I continue to kill my resentment? Well, I love JFF's thought, Jennifer Finlayson Fife's thought on this is resentment most often is contributed to by cowardice. Because I took the easy way out to not bring up something that needed to be addressed in that moment, and I didn't, and then it keeps harboring and festering and growing,
mm-hmm.
and now I'm frustrated and I'm resentful, and what I'm resentful of is you, but I'm also need to look at it. I'm resentful for me because I didn't bring it up.
It was that part's on me.
Right. And so that's where then I need to work better on my move of how do I bring it up?
Mm.
And that's where I want to be as clean about the data point between us, not just the culpability of each of us always, because mm-hmm. it's very easy to come in with this sophisticated high ground. I'm already stacking things in my favor. Look at the lot I've had to carry and the burden I've had to have with this and how mean and all those subtleties we can say, which is the same kind of thing as don't ever let me catch you doing this again.
Yeah.
Right. It's being very honest about the fact that I will shade and skew things to my advantage. So the best thing I can do is recognize my capability of that and bring it up. I feel like there is a disproportionate playing out of household responsibilities here, and it's wearing on me.
Mm-hmm.
That's a little more global about the data points, rather than
absolutely.
I have asked you over and over to cook a meal, but yet it wigs you out. You're talking about the data, but you've added a lot of color to it.
Well, and you're saying it wigs you out. And that's not about me. What's it doing to me?
Right.
So your two examples.
You let her anxieties that she uses, which is her move. I'm not saying purposeful, but if I'm going to this, and this is one of the things, maybe we touch on this in the extended content when we pivot here in a minute. Maybe if not, and you want to hear more about it, please 214-702-9565. Let us know. There are a lot of things we allow to carry way too much weight in marriage, and trauma and fears and anxiety are among them.
Oh my gosh, you're going to get some calls on that.
Fine. But it's one of those, like, if I want to face life on life terms, how long do I want to keep those things back in the corners that will continue to wreak havoc versus I actually face them.
Okay, so that's your point, though.
Yes.
If you don't face them,
yes.
we all have something that's happened, and bigger traumas, smaller traumas, whatever they are, are we going to let them hinder us for the entirety of our life?
Yeah.
Or are we doing something
right. To
try and move and make life stronger?
It's the same thing going on with this marriage. How long do you want to let the pattern that is be the pattern that you want it to be?
Yeah.
Because if we're culpable in co-creating things and allowing things to continue until I start implementing boundaries of this is what's frustrating on the impact of what's been created.
Yeah.
And then again, you boil it down to it's one move at a time. All of our big pivotal conversations that have changed our relationship and will continue to do so, because we will do these multiple times still going forward.
Yeah.
We actually had a little bit of one over the weekend, right? Of just airing some stuff and navigating some things and actually coming to a different kind of, oh, that's a path that, all right, let's see where this move may take each of us.
Yeah.
But it really is that simple of, I have an idea of how she's going to respond, but I make the most appropriate move I can about the data that's in front of me, and then I see how she responds.
Mm-hmm.
And then I go from there. It never seems to fail, and I don't know why I would sometimes be surprised by this, but when we're putting together the shows and I'm kind of looking through content, topics, that oftentimes I'll have two different thoughts. Like, these are good to explore, and I don't necessarily at the outset see how they overlap.
Oh, yeah.
But yet almost always they overlap.
Yeah.
Right? It's like today's first segment on the I want to be wanted, but I don't want to want absolutely fits into, am I approaching this through a lens of entitlement or exposure?
Yeah, it does.
And I didn't think of that when we were first putting it together, but then as the show's unfolding, it's like, well, duh.
Well, it's all relationship, right? I mean, it all comes together. All these topics, one relationship doesn't have a different equation than another. You know,
right.
The equation is still the same, and the math don't lie.
Well said. Well, this has been Sexy Marriage Radio. Transcripts are available on each of the episode's pages, as well as all the advertisers' deals and discount codes. You can find them all at smr.fm. You can also find all the advertisers' deals and discount codes in the nation at my.smr.fm. Just look for our sponsors. There's all kinds of great sponsors we've had over the years that you still get some deals. So please consider supporting those who help support the show. Well, however you took a little bit of time out to spend with us today, thanks, and we'll see you next time.